track four. Lorna chats with Anne Edwards as they go on a peaceful woodland walk through Ashworthorpe near Wyndham, and she learns about the different areas of interest in such peaceful and natural places.
I'm sitting in the quietest room we could find at John Innes Centre, and I'm with Anne Edwards, and we want to talk to you today about Ashworthorpe Woods. So I've recently been on a walk with Anne, and I thought she might like to tell you about the history of it first.
Yes, thank you. So Ashworthorpe is a very ancient wood. We know that it was mentioned in the Domesday Book, which was commissioned in 1068 by William the Conqueror, to know which lands he'd won. And we know from the Domesday Book that it was being coppiced at that time, but it was probably being coppiced even way before that, so thousands of years. It's been managed by this ancient method of forestry known as coppicing. And coppicing describes the cutting down of trees right down to the ground and allowing them to regrow as multiple stems. And it was thought that Stone Age man discovered coppicing because it was a way of getting a continuous supply of materials, sticks for burning, but also construction. Yes, and it also was found that coppicing prolongs the life of a tree. So a single tree left as a one main trunk, depending on the species, could maybe live for 300, 400 years. But a coppiced tree, like a coppiced ash, for instance, could go on for thousands of years.
Oh, yes, because you did point out a tree that had been left for a while.
Yes, yes. So coppicing, depending on what you want the materials for, a tree might be cut every 8 years, it could be cut every 40 years. And at Ashworthorpe, we coppice about a third of the wood now, and we're on a 12-year cycle. So we have blocks of trees that we cut down every 12 years.
So this facilitates, I suppose, lots of different species in the wood.
Yes, coppicing is very important for biodiversity, because if you imagine a wood that's just left to grow unmanaged, eventually becomes very dark, so the woodland floor is completely shaded. So, the delicate ground flora are unable to grow. But in a coppiced woodland, you're just opening up blocks of light in different areas around the wood. This allows the flowers to grow, and then they attract insects, and the insects attract birds, and so on.
We tried to look for some of the birds there, and we saw bluebells ready to come out, wasn't there, as well. And the garlic is due to come.
Yeah.
And there's another plant I saw. Because this is the early... We're at the sort of back end of winter, aren't we, coming into spring?
Yes. Everything is ready to burst forth now. Wood anemones will come out soon. And also there's this delicate plant called moscatel, also known as town hall clock. It's a tiny flower. The flower is not much to write home about. It's yellow, it's not a colourful thing, but its faces are on all four sides like a town hall clock. It's just a tiny plant, and I've seen that coming out in the last week.
You're right. So if I returned back a bit to the history again, what use was there later on made with it?
Well, nearby, the nearest town is Wyndham, and Wyndham has got very long history of important wood industries, turning, but also famously brush factories. And right up until the late 70s, coppiced wood, particularly the hazel, was harvested for broom handles for the factories in Wyndham.
So there's certain... Well, I suppose it was a big industrial thing, this wood, then, really.
Yes, it was. The coppice product was quite valuable. You know, mm-hmm. It was a very important part of the rural economy for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, I spoke to someone who said he lives in Wyndham, and this enormous area was where all these brushes were made. It was.
Yes.
incredibly big.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, there were several factories. There was the co-op brush factory and another one. Britain's brushes, that's right. And not brooms, but paint brushes as well.
So as we walked through, we came to a big, wide area where there were all these... It had to be all being cut down, hadn't it?
Yes, that was our coppice block for this year. Mm-hmm. We try to cut about a hectare every year. Mm-hmm. And we start in October and we work every Sunday right through to... we're finishing now, middle of March, yeah. we finish. And we try to still... We do it... The reason why we coppice now is mainly for the wildlife benefits. But we do try and use as much of the product as we can. Mm. And, we supply people that make hurdle fencing, hazel hurdle fencing. And someone came once to make... she was making garden ornaments. Mm-hmm. She collected some hedge layers... Very important. Oh, we supplied the Morris men in Norwich with their dancing sticks. Of course, firewood is another... we generate a lot of firewood. And some of it's also converted to wood chip.
Right. So this area, again, that will be a new restart.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it completely fell, are cleared. Apart from, we do leave what we call the standard trees. These are the single stems, and they're mostly oak, hornbeam, and up until quite recently, ash. But unfortunately, with the ash dieback, we've lost quite a few of our ash. Well, most of our ash trees. So when we do come across a healthy one, we make sure that's left, and. Even now, we can see the ground flora coming up in those blocks because light is reaching the woodland floor.
All right. So I know that I saw you took us further on through the wood past the area where you've got solar panels in for the. Was it protection against...
The deer fencing, yeah.
Just this one area. And that's because, if I remember this right, that's because the trees are so young, is it?
We do, after we finished our coppicing, we do have to protect the new growth because the regenerating coppice, the shoots are very tasty, young and succulent. Yeah. And we have quite a large deer population in the wood. And if we left it... they would just eat it all. So at the end, it is protected with this solar-powered electric fencing, and that's kept in place for 2 to 3 years. And then the trees are sort of, they can look after themselves. But they grow back really, really quickly because the rootstock is, many hundreds, if not thousands of years old. So even after a year... as long as they're not munched by deer, you're looking at 2 foot of growth.
What are the differences you find within the different seasons in the wood?
Yeah, so now we're coming out of winter. Everything looks a bit stark, not much colour there, but this is a great time to look at the trunks of the trees. Mm-hmm. You can see the different barks. I particularly like the hornbeam bark, beautiful grey bark with a sort of ripples. Then we've got the hazels. The hazels are quite variable. You get some that are smooth and dark brown, others that are like a snake skin and lighter. Then you've got the wonderful alders and the sallows or the goat willows with their... sort of lenticels, the breathing holes, you can feel those, you can see those on the trunks.
Yeah.
The oaks, of course, with their gnarly bark. So there's a lot of different barks, but also it's a good time to see the galls that on the trunks or on the branches.
For those who don't know, a gall is...
A gall can be caused by a fungus, a bacteria, or an insect, and it's where... And our native galls, you'll see a huge swelling like on the trunk of a tree. Yeah. It's usually bacterial on the trunk. and it's where bacteria have taken advantage of maybe an injury to a trunk and gone in and moved in, and they overtake the tree's genetic system, if you like, and get almost like a tumour.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really do the tree any harm, and the bacteria will maybe take some sugars from photosynthesis, but it's not damaging. If you're a forester, it might look unsightly. If you're a wood turner, you get these beautiful burrs and stuff. It can be quite quite interesting. Sometimes a tree, if it's damaged, can also do that sort of tumorous stuff to repair itself, but. Then you get insect galls, particularly in the hornbeam, and they look they call them witches' brooms, because they like sort of that's where a branch is now making multiple little twigs, say, and that's a small insect has done that, and that's because it's part of its life cycle, and again it doesn't harm the tree. And then also in winter time, you've got all the lovely mosses, carpets and moss. And you say, oh, it's just moss, but there are many different species of moss to investigate. And the lichens as well are another species you could look at this time of year.
Well, I think we'll have to stop there now, Anne. Thank you so much for telling us about so many different aspects of Ashwellthorpe Lower Wood near Wyndham.